We'll take one caller before we say goodbye to the network, and we will continue to talk it up jazically up until midnight on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Let's go out east. Steve is in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Hello, Steve.
How you doing, Mike? First-time caller.
Oh, welcome aboard. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to get through a few times, but especially with this winning streak, with this way this Blue Jays team's playing. Like, I'm an old guy. I was around for 92, 93, and the way that those teams were. But this team, I don't know, it's got something. They just they find ways to win. They don't give up. And
they're really good.
The thing that's really impressive for me is the little things they're doing now. And you know, you've been around the team for a while, and you know the defense wasn't great, and they weren't moving runners over. And I don't know where they stand in sack flies in the league this year, but they got to be up there. They're scoring runs every way they can, not with just a long ball. And I don't know, this team's really, really exciting to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is. This is a really good team. And they do all those things because they're full of really, really good players. You know, the more runners you get on, the more chances you got for sack flies, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, moving the runners over and just things like that, like with these Blue Jays teams from the past were never doing. And it's great to see. And I don't know, you got to credit Gibby, I guess, with a lot of that. And I'm a Gibby fan. I think he's the right manager for this team right now. And I think it's showing.
Well, I think he's a very good manager. I think the players deserve the credit for winning the games, but Gibby's certainly does his best to put them in the right positions as often as possible.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Next pitch, ground ball top to third base. Beltre has it. He throws it on to first. He throws it wide of the bag. Revere scores. The Blue Jays go out in front 6-5 on a throwing error by Adrian Beltre to allow Donaldson to reach.
That's one of the best defensive third basemen in Major League Baseball. Adrian Beltre. And he just threw away that routine ground ball. Blue Jays take a 6-5 lead, and from then on, it is simply Osuna Matata. Means no worries for the rest of the game. Roberto Osuna, with his 15th save in as many opportunities since being made the Blue Jays closer. Blue Jays take advantage of the blown save by Sean Tolleson to get the 6-5 win. It is the 15th blown save that the Blue Jays have forced an opponent into. They are 5-1 on this road trip. And they're now a game clear of the New York Yankees for first place in the American League East and 8 up on the Orioles and Rays, who are tied for third. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls right up until midnight Eastern time. Let's get right to it. Eddie is in Sutton. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, how are you, bud?
I'm all right, thanks.
Well, you know what? I'm feeling really happy about how the Blue Jays are right now, and I mean they're so well rounded. But you know, listening to Tom Henke talk about how he was when he came in 1985, you know, or the '85 tribute, anyways, and when he talked about Roberto Osuna, him being so young, Tom Henke was something like 25 or 26 years old. And, you know, Osuna just has this sort of, you know, command about him. And I'm not sure about, you know, how many saves for, you know, save attempts he has, but I'm not sure what the streak is, but it's got to be something around 13 or 14, isn't it?
He's 15 for 15. Yeah, I just said that as the closer. Since he got the closer's job, he is 15 for 15.
And, I mean, I don't know when the last time a Blue Jays closer has had that many saves. I don't know. I'm not a stats guy. I think he just looks so mature for a young guy. And I know that the Mexican League is one of those things, you know, you're in there, and you're pitching with the big guys anyways.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what? Osuna does have that air about him, certainly, and I attribute a lot of that to him having pitched professionally in Mexico as a 16-year-old against people over twice his age. And that's not insignificant. He is 15 for 15 in saves. The last time a Blue Jay had this many saves in a season was last year. By the way, how quickly we forget Casey Jansen and what a great job he did as the Blue Jays closer last season, except for, you know, those couple of bumps in the road after he had that food poisoning in the Dominican Republic. But last year, Casey Jansen had 25 saves for the Blue Jays, and I think he went the whole first half without blowing one. Osuna's been fantastic. Been fantastic and calm and not overwhelmed by the situation. You know what? It's really interesting, too, as this was pointed out by a Texas Rangers fan on Twitter. Evan Grant is one of the beat reporters for the Rangers, and his Twitter feed, at least his mentions, often get almost as silly as mine do. But someone talked about how Tolleson, a rookie closer in his first big game, looked completely out of sorts tonight. And he did. He was all over the place. He walked two and might have walked a third had the umpire been paying attention. We have never seen that out of Roberto Osuna, not once. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the opponent, regardless of the location. Never seen that out of Roberto Osuna. Yaz in St. Mary's. Hey, Yaz.
Hey, Mike. Okay, Roberto Osuna is Mr. Freeze, and he is the second coming of Mariano Rivera. Just in terms of the way he approaches every batter, wishing them, willing them to try to swing at his pitches.
He's 20 years old. Mariano Rivera is the greatest closer of all time. Let's just let Roberto Osuna be Roberto Osuna.
Yeah, but dude, you have to be able to call it early.
That's... you can if you want.
I'm going to, because the Blue Jays, is somebody going to write up the comparison, hopefully, of this team compared to the 92 or 93 team?
Well, how do you mean?
In terms of wins and where they are now. And
I think we're going to see that all the time.
We're not at the World Series yet, but just in terms of approach to baseball that this team has, the composure, the egging each other on to do better.
Yeah, they did that last year, too.
But they're really doing it now.
They're really good now. They're full of talented players. I don't understand why this is so hard for people. You don't have to make up stuff that's not happening. They're really, really good. I'll tell you, in comparison to 1993, these Blue Jays are two games worse through 125 games. That team had 72 wins. In 1993, 72 wins and the same one-game lead in the American League East that this team does. And if you want to look at 1992 through 125 games, the 1992 team had 71 wins and a three-game lead in the AL East.
What about offensive numbers?
I'm not getting into that with 22 minutes left in the show and a full board of callers. No chance.
But it still is fun to watch these boys play.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's fun to watch because they're a great team. They have great players. There is no glaring hole on this team, period. The depth is an issue, but the depth isn't being tested right now because everybody's healthy right now and they only have to stay healthy for another couple months. But this is a great team full of great players. Michael in Toronto. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. Fan of the show. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to echo what the previous callers have said about Osuna. It seems as if this young guy just can't do no wrong. He's under tons of pressure out there, and he's doing really, really well. But I had a question. I heard somewhere that Osuna said that he wants to stay in the bullpen. Do you see that being an option of him being long-term in the bullpen, maybe throughout the next couple of years?
It's an option. It is. I don't know if it's a preferable option. I've heard that. I haven't talked to him about it. So I'd really like to get an in-context conversation about it,
right,
as opposed
right.
to, you know, someone might have said, well, it's been a lot of fun in the bullpen and I could see myself staying here. and everybody jumping on that and saying, oh, he wants to be a reliever. Look, he's great, and he's got an opportunity to be a great starter. And the same things I said about Aaron Sanchez last year hold for Osuna this year. You'd rather get those 200 quality innings out of a guy than 60.
Yeah.
But, man, has it been a lot of fun this year.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. And we will continue, pardon me, to take your calls right up until midnight Eastern time. But before we get to the next call, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 6-5 win for the Blue Jays in Texas.
Gibby, that Tula at bat just was so amazing for the fact that the first call strike was actually ball four, but instead he stays at the plate and gets the hit to tie the game.
Yeah, you know what? He's starting to get some hits the last couple games, but he's one of the best players in baseball. He has been for a number of years. And, he had that chance tonight, and he got it done. You know, you look back at that time against the Yankees, he had that battle with Miller there at the end. You know, so right guy, right time, and he came through. But he's starting to heat up. He looks good. He's starting to throw some line drives out there. But don't forget, too, Russ is the big walk leading off that inning. Russ has been scuffed a little bit, but he worked a walk to set all that up. And, yeah, good ball game.
Just talk about how this team just continues to find different ways to win ball games.
We've been kind of pounding it a little bit lately. Today, you know, tonight was one of those games we're down late against a good ball club over there. And the breaks when you're hot, the breaks go your way a little bit. You know, that's kind of really the way the game works.
Gibby, you said right guy, right time. We've asked you a lot about the lineup over the last couple of weeks. Is that kind of a perfect example of why you like Tulo in that one spot?
Yeah, I do. I mean, those guys, they come around one more time, you know. And I love having your best hitters. We get that one more shot at it, you know. And then Josh came up with a tie game, and you know, we caught a break there. I don't think I've seen Beltre throw a ball wide, so we definitely caught a big break there. You know, he's one of the best ever. So, yeah, things are going our way. That's really the only way I can sum it up.
Josh's hustle there too. I mean, that makes it happen. If he doesn't run down the line like that, you don't get on base. You know.
Well, yeah, but that's the way you should play the game.
You don't always see players do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you want?
What did you mean to Burley today?
He struggled, in typical fashion, though. I mean, give up some runs. You don't normally see that, you know, for a number of innings. But, then his last couple of innings, I thought he was kind of, he looked like he normally did. But, he was off. I thought, for a guy that doesn't have much velocity, I mean, his velocity was down a little bit. That still can be important to a guy like him. It's one of those ball. It's always been a great hitting ballpark. So, you know, it was kind of like back and forth. You figure, both teams was taking shape to score a lot of runs. But he managed to, we were down, but he managed to give us six, and then the bullpen did a solid job. Got a little hairy there, and then Cease came in and got the big strikeout chewing the ground ball, which is, otherwise you don't win that.
Say he kind of got lost, but those outs to prevent the add-on runs from Cecil and Hawkins.
Yeah. Even Hawk, he had the back against the wall. They found some holes out there, to get out of there with scoreless. That's really the game.
Sure is. John Gibbons in the wake of tonight's 6-5 win for the Blue Jays over the Texas Rangers. Mike Wilner here with you. Jays talking it up until the top of the hour. Brett Cecil comes in with runners at first and second, one out in the seventh inning, and the Blue Jays down 5-4, immediately gets his pocket picked for a double steal. So it's second and third, one out, and the Blue Jays down by a run. Cecil strikes out Shin-Soo Choo and gets Prince Fielder to ground out, and Brett Cecil now has 21 consecutive scoreless innings, has not given up a run in over 2 months out of the Blue Jays bullpen. Jays beat the Rangers 6-5. It's Blue Jays talk. Back to the phones we go. Adam in Toronto, you're up. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. First-time caller.
Welcome.
I have a postseason scenario that I think is getting more realistic that nobody's talking about, and I want to hear your thoughts. Let's say noon today, we're tied with the Yankees. So there's a game 163 at the beginning of October. The loser is going to be the first wild card spot.
Correct.
Am I right?
Yes.
Doesn't that make an interesting situation? Game 163, the next game, there's going to be that one game, play-in game that everybody talks about. And then the next day, the ALDS starts. There's a team that could potentially play 3 days in a row in three different cities.
Yeah, but the same scenario exists.
Situation. And I think it's becoming pretty realistic and maybe probable at this point.
I think you're very, very, very much ahead of yourself right there. I think it's fair to say that that situation exists on August 25th every year. And usually in multiple divisions. And I don't believe we have had that happen yet. So
I don't think so either.
I would certainly not go so far as to say that it's probable. It is definitely improbable. It is unlikely. It's possible. But again, go back and look at the standings on August 25th every year and try to find a scenario where there's not a division race with a team a game or two in front of the second place team.
Is the improbable part, in your opinion, the 163, or that the wild card will be Blue Jays Yankees?
No, the improbable part for me is that they're going to wind up tied for the division lead.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is highly improbable.
Second quick question, if I can.
Sure.
Buck Martinez usually goes to TBS in the postseason. Is he going to stick around this time?
Nope. He's not, because Sportsnet will not have any TV games. Won't have. Well, I mean, we'll show them on Sportsnet, obviously, but local television does not exist during the post-Major League postseason. So,
interesting. We never had to deal with that.
Yeah, no, we have. Well, not since 1993. But yeah, local television. There's no such thing as local television in the postseason. There is local radio, though. So, I want to say when as opposed to if right now, but again, it's August 25th. If the Blue Jays are in the playoffs, you will get to hear Jerry, Joe, and me. But again, the TV will be up to whoever has the rights, and I don't know what the deal is for the first round or who's going to be where. Randy is in Winnipeg. Hello, Randy.
Hi, Mike. Big win tonight. This team is so much fun to watch. The Winnipeg Gold Eyes Independent League baseball team uncoincidentally had their inaugural season in 1994. Just want to say, when the Blue Jays are playing well, it has a huge impact all across Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're saying, though, is that since the Winnipeg Gold Eyes have existed, the Blue Jays haven't been in the playoffs.
Hey, look, I'm not sure if one has to do with the other, but the Gold Eyes have certainly played well in the last few years.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. Against lefties, is Cliff Pennington really an upgrade over Ryan Goins? I know at the plate there's maybe a marginal upgrade, but in the field, certainly Goins is a much, much better defender.
And the answer to that is yes. Cliff Pennington is that much better than Ryan Goins against left-handers that he should be playing. And again, you know, it's like the people who weren't sold on Ben Revere until last week. And it's like the people who don't think Troy Tulowitzki is a very good hitter. We haven't seen what Cliff Pennington can do. Now, Cliff Pennington is not in the company of either one of Tulowitzki or Revere as a hitter. But Cliff Pennington is a capable major league hitter against left-handed pitching, and Ryan Goins is not. I think it's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't buy into the whole, like, oh, you know, Tulo's not playing well, Revere's not playing well, Martin, we should sit him down, he's hurting the team.
Right.
You're never going to get nine guys all hitting at the exact same time. I think people kind of need to understand that.
Yeah, and I think people need to give Cliff Pennington a bit of a break. I mean, he's, as a Blue Jay, he's had now 18 at-bats. He's 2 for 18 as a Blue Jay, and that doesn't impress anybody by any means. But yes, he is a better option than Goins against left-handed pitching. Goins is hitting .208 against lefties with a .270 on base. Sam's in Hamilton. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mike. Hey, first, is the Tulowitzki batting leadoff discussion dead after tonight?
I hope so. I don't think it will be, but I certainly hope so. I mean, this was why Troy Tulowitzki is leading off, because he was up there in the ninth inning instead of some slap hitter who doesn't get on base very well in a huge, huge situation, and that's what you want.
Yeah. You know, this game, to me, I love this game. You know, extra fist pumps for this game. You know, the weekend was fun blowouts, but this game just had a little sizzle to it that I love. Just nice comeback win, jaws from the defeat. It was such a great game.
That's what good teams do sometimes. Now, they're still going to lose a bunch. I mean, we need to make sure that that's clear. They're still going to lose a bunch of games. But yeah, this one was a good one. Trying to get to as many callers as possible before we hit the top of the hour. Derek is in Chatham. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
All right, thanks.
Attaboy. Just so much fun with the guys doing what they're doing. And I think tonight the offense again pulled it out. Couple of things I just want to say. First thing is...
the bullpen was terrific, too. You got to remember that, right?
What's that?
Got to give props to the bullpen. They were terrific.
Yeah, bullpen's fine. Yeah. Bullpen's improved considerably.
Indeed.
I think Tulo is on the path now. I think he's on his way. Last game, he indicated stuff's starting to happen. I know they weren't belt-blasting hits today, but, I mean, three hits today is just good for him. I think he'll find his way, and he'll be what we hoped he was going to deliver for all of us. But I'm sad to see Russell hobbling around, I just question, you know, how we can expect him to keep hobbling around and everybody to be better for it. I wish we could heal him some way or the other, and I think some way we should have him heal before he continues to do the hobble.
Well, the only thing that will heal Russ Martin is time. He's not going on the disabled list. He's not going to be benched. He's still contributing, and he's still doing a great job. I mean, Brett Cecil, we mentioned, struck out Shin-Soo Chu in the seventh inning with runners at second and third and one out. That was because of Russell Martin. That was Russ Martin, the receiver, who got that strikeout. And Russ Martin drew a walk to start the ninth inning with the team down a run. And his pinch runner wound up scoring the tying run.
Mike, I'm not knocking. I'm not knocking Russell at all.
Well, you're suggesting that he shouldn't be playing at all, right?
It was just sad to see that.
He's playing hurt. That's what happens when people play hurt.
Well, playing hurt's fine. I appreciate that. I appreciate the desire to play hurt and try to help your team. But when he gets us within a run, and then unfortunately, you know. He has a hard time. He winces off a ball he's swinging at and he grounds into a double play and has a hard time trying to beat a double play.
Again, Russell Martin scored the tying run today. The guy who came in to pinch run for Russell Martin, because Russell Martin got on base to start the ninth inning against the closer of a playoff team. Let's just let that settle in for a second. Russ Martin playing hurt is not killing this team. This team, with Russell Martin in the lineup, I mean, he's only played 3 out of the 6 games of the road trip, it's true. But they've scored 54 runs in 6 games. They're 5-1 on the trip. They've won 20 of their last 24. Russ Martin's playing hurt. Cameron in Toronto. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right.
I'm just wondering if you could tell me what in degrees that icy cold blood that runs through Osuna's veins is.
You know, he's such a nice guy, too. You wouldn't think that he was a stone cold killer.
You know, it's amazing. It's this focus that he has, you know. I mean, to put up that many saves this year already, it's amazing. I just had one other thing to ask. Now, I was in New York City last week, and I noticed that a lot of the newspapers over there talk about this idea of sustainability and whether the New York can sustain and whether Toronto can sustain this sort of momentum and stuff. But do you really think that's an issue anymore of sustainability, or is it just two really good teams playing against each other?
Well, I it's two good teams for sure. I mean, the Blue Jays, I think, are much better given all the changes that they've made. But yeah, it's not about momentum and it's not about sustaining. Obviously, they're not going to sustain this. No one's going to win at this rate. They've won 20 out of 24 games. But they're a really, really, really good team. And really, really, really good teams win games. And it would not surprise me. You know, it would have 3 weeks ago. Now it would not surprise me if the Jays won 95 games this year. Because it looks to me like 20-17 is going to be pretty hard for them to do. Because they're that good. Now, that said, they could lose the next five games. And then all of a sudden, 20-12 ain't that easy. So we'll see. They won tonight, 6-5 over the Texas Rangers. Mike is in Toronto. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Sure. Why not?
Just a quick question or your thoughts on Edwin and Encarnacion. His game streak is, as you mentioned, has reached 20 games, and it hasn't been done since Scott Rowland. You know, his approach and everything to the plate isn't really too flashy. He just keeps to fly under the radar. You know, 20 games is quite the feat. I just thought, you know, is it your thoughts on if it's going to continue or what you think and stuff like that?
I think Edwin's a really, really good hitter. And I think people sort of forgot about that because of Donaldson and Martin and Bautista and all these great hitters on this team. Edwin Encarnacion has had an OPS above 900 each of the last three seasons going into this year. Edwin had a terrible start to this season, just terrible. And yet here he is. Now you mentioned the 20-game hit streak. I don't really get caught up in hit streaks and stuff like that, but he has just been incredible in the month of August. You know, we all remember last May how great he was and how much he carried this team. I think he's actually in the overall been better this August than he has been, than he was last May when he helped the team to that 20-4 run, and now they're on this 20-4 run. I don't have the numbers up to date through today, but he does have his OPS is up to 865 now for the season. Going into today's game in the month of August, Edwin was hitting 407 with a 1254 OPS. So it's just been silly.
Hey, Mike, do you think he's overshadowed? Like, do you think a pitcher when you know, they're looking at the next three batters at every inning, and they, you know, they see big names like Donaldson and Bautista, they think Edwin Encarnacion, and they just kind of overlook them.
No.
Or
pitchers,
just
no.
Really that good of a hitter?
Never. Pitchers, never. Hitters or fans, sure. Pitchers would never overlook Edwin Encarnacion. They know exactly how good this guy is, and he's reminding everybody just how good he is right now. Let's sneak one more call in before we go. Mark is in Sudbury. Hey, Mark.
Hey, last caller.
Well,
my lucky day.
We'll see.
Mike, this is the first time the Jays have been in first place alone because the Yanks have a game in hand, and if they win it, they're still a half game back. All the other times the Jays was in first place, the Yankees had enough games to either pass them or tie them.
Yeah, no, that
so
doesn't
what
mean
a
anything.
Huge win.
Okay, but
so, Mike, the Jays have two road jerseys.
Yeah.
Blue and gray. So how is it determined what color of jersey they wear?
I think now they've just decided that they're going with the blues because they've been winning and winning and winning and winning. So I don't know if they've ditched the grays entirely, but they haven't worn them in a while. I think I saw something like it's about 15 straight games now on the road that they've worn the blues. And as long as they continue to win, I think that's what we're going to continue to see. We might even see it at home too. Whatever they think is working is working. I mean, again, and I've said it many times, this is a great baseball team, but athletes are a superstitious bunch. So if they think something's helping, then sure, it's helping. Why not? Wear blue, wear purple socks if you have to, if you think it makes you a better player. But I don't know if we're never going to see the Grays again, maybe two road losses in a row and we will. But whatever they're doing is working. They've won 20 of their last 24 games. They're a game clear of the New York Yankees in first place in the American League East. And they'll try to win a series tomorrow night with their ace on the mound. David Price gets the start up against Rangers top winner Colby Lewis. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern time for the pregame, 7:30 network pregame, 8:07 first pitch. For Mike Cesney, for Derek Brandeo, I'm Mike Wilner. See you tomorrow.